Commanders aren't playing Sunday. There's no Commanders game to occupy your Sunday. What are you going to do? For me, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I think I'm going hiking in the morning. I'm going to wake up and take my girls to the Billy Goat Trails, hopefully. I haven't really looked at the weather. Hopefully it's agreeable. And I fly to Cincinnati at 12:30, I believe, out of Dulles. And I'm gonna be gone for a full week. So I kind of think I should Uber and not have my car there for a full week. You know, that's just a lot of parking to have to pay for a full week. So that's kind of my mindset for Sunday. I land in Cincinnati at like 2:30. I got to do some work for 4. Ideally, and this is probably overly optimistic, the best time to sit down on a couch or a chair or sit on the floor if times are tough, but the best time one can enjoy as an NFL fan is Sunday from like 3:30 to 4:30. The term that has gained popular acceptance is the witching hour. It's when all the 1 o'clock games are finishing, and usually at least one, often more than one, are coming down to the wire. And I think it's going to be fascinating. I'm hoping I can be somewhere by 3:30 to watch the end of the games. And then I'm actually just going to watch the 4 o'clock games, Landfill. Don't mess with me because I'm going to watch some football. 4 o'clock games are awesome. Ravens-Cowboys, I think, will be a true dogfight. You've got the Ravens are desperate. The Cowboys, after getting smoked last week, are pretty close to desperate. You've also got Lions-Cardinals, which I think is going to be a shootout. If you look, that's got to be the highest total of the week, right? 51.5. I'd be tempted to go over that, frankly. Yeah, that's the highest total. Think about it this way, dude. Lions-Cardinals is a 51.5 point total. The lowest tonight, you've got Jets-Patriots, 38.5. But the lowest total I feel like I've seen in a while, probably this season, is Chargers-Steelers, Sunday 1 o'clock, 35.5. Those are low totals. I mean, that's almost two full scores difference from Lions-Cardinals to Steelers-Chargers.
Those are almost preseason numbers.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that is really low. And I get you've got two limited offenses, two ball control coaches, two guys playing a lot of defense. Chiefs-Falcons is Sunday night game. I'll be watching. Is Cincinnati in the same time zone? Does anyone know that answer?
As
here.
Yeah, like, I think they are.
Okay. Well, that I kind of wish it was Central because it's – I like – Central time zone for sports might be the winner. Because when you're out west and you're watching football in the morning, it's like – I mean – 9 a.m. for NFL kickoff, 8 a.m.
Right? I mean, 10. No. That sounds kind of awesome, 10. Actually.
Yeah, but, dude, then, like, if you work and you get home for Monday Night Football, like, it's over at 8:30. Then what do you do? Go to sleep? Maybe people out west are well-rested, unlike us.
I mean, that's a hell of a lot better than it being over at, like, 11:45. That's miserable.
See, I like Central, though, dude, because then Monday Night Football starting at 7:15, and it's over at 10:30. That's perfect. Then you just go to bed.
Like Denver or something has got to be, they got to be 2 hours behind us, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be perfect, actually.
What is Phoenix 2 or 3?
I believe it's 3.
I think it like switches because they don't do daylight savings or something.
Yeah. Arizona's strange.
Arizona is strange. Right now in Phoenix, according to my computer, it's 9:10 a.m.
So they're 3 hours behind us.
Okay. But I think in the winter it's only 2, because remember we did the Super Bowl there in the winter? I don't know. Landfill, what are the odds of me screwing something up when I'm doing the remotes from Arizona with time zones?
Approximately 1,000%, which is astonishing because you just – it's just 3 hours. Like, you just have to be there at 7 Phoenix time. Like, that's not that difficult.
hopefully it works, dude. So it's my understanding, I think part of the reason for going out to Arizona to practice is that
they have a game out there.
Well, yes, that's part of it. good point. But I think a big part of it is just to keep them in their completely normal routine. So they're going to keep practicing in the afternoons like they do here in Ashburn, which means our radio show in Arizona starts at 7 a.m., right?
I mean, for like, you, for everybody here for on me. The East Coast, the correct coast, it'll still start at 10.
Yeah, I think I'll just do it from the hotel. I don't know that there's, that, like, I could go to practice, but they're not going to be practicing for hours. So it'd just be me sitting there. It will be cool, though. They're practicing at Arizona State, which this, I don't know if they're at the stadium or what. I don't know where Arizona State's going to practice while they're out there. But, you know, these are all things we're gonna figure that out together. Landfill, no Commanders game to watch on Sunday. What will you do on Sunday?
I will take the opportunity to watch football. And actually, I think that it's great because, you know, you're not going to have any kind of emotional investment in anything. You can just actually enjoy it. There's some solid games at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And there are also some terrible games.
The games at 1 o'clock I'd like to watch. I think Chargers-Steelers could be good.
Bears, I think it'll be Colts, close. I don't think it'll be good, but it'll be close.
Texans-Vikings could be good.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Sam Darnold.
And Eagles-Saints should be pretty good as well.
Eagles-Saints should be quite good. Are the Saints for real? What the hell are the Eagles? You know? I bet. You know how they do like the look-ahead lines with a lot of this stuff? Like early in the summer when the schedule comes out, so there are certain like Vegas sports books that'll give you lines for every game. I bet the original line or what people thought the Eagles-Saints line would be and what it is are very different. The Saints are favored by 3. So just straight home field in the Superdome.
There are also a couple of absolutely atrocious games Sunday at 1. The Bears and the Colts and the Giants and the Browns.
By far the worst game on the board, though, is Panthers-Raiders at 4 o'clock.
Yes, that is, I mean, that is just brutal.
Jeff, what will you do on Sunday?
Man, Jeff's not here.
Where is he?
I have no idea.
Bears-Colts appeals to me in like a NASCAR wait-for-the-wreck kind of way. Dude, I just got this email from one of these like betting websites, not like a actual like betting, like you can't actually bet with them, but it's like betting analytics, that kind of stuff. Probably similar to BetQL, I guess. Does this make any sense to you? So none of the rookie quarterbacks have thrown a touchdown pass yet. Jaden has run for 2. Bo Nix has run for 1. Caleb hasn't thrown any. Nix and Caleb have thrown a bunch of picks. Jaden hasn't thrown any of those. What of the rookie quarterbacks, who do you think is the first to reach 5 passing touchdowns, Landfill?
Well, they're all at 0, so I guess
they're all at 0.
There's not a ton of reason. I guess I would go with Jaden because they seem to be moving the ball the best. Bo Nix has just been absolutely atrocious. And Caleb Williams just looks completely lost out there. So I, at least the Commanders are consistently moving the ball down the field, getting in the red zone.
Right. I am shocked by this. Their percent chance is Caleb Williams with 38% chance, Jaden Daniels with 30% chance, and Bo Nix at 26% chance of being the first rookie quarterback to reach 5 passing touchdowns.
That's just disrespectful.
The odds, they say, would be plus 160 for Caleb, plus 225 for Jaden, plus 275 for Bo. And then, I mean, if you want to get nuts, you could get plus 3,500 for Drake May, which I think is kind of silly. I don't understand that at all, to the point where I'd like to bet on it. Like, these aren't real odds. This is just like a hypothetical talking point. But, dude, the Commanders threw. So I think they've had 8 possessions, right, in both games. So that's 16 possessions. I think you take 2 of them out because 2 of them were kneel downs before halftime. So of the possessions where they tried to advance the ball, now you're at 14 possessions. And they've had scoring opportunities on 12 of them, if my math's right. I mean, because I know against the Bucks, they missed two field goals. Like that, they had 5 of 8 drives with scoring opportunities, and against the Giants, they never punted and kicked 7 field goals. So, like, they're at least getting into scoring opportunities on damn near every drive. Every possession where they attempt to advance the football, they're getting a scoring opportunity.
Or one of those, I mean, they're going to get in the end zone eventually on one of those.
Yeah. Dude, somebody just misses a tackle and they run one in from 25 yards out. I don't know how it will happen, but like it's going to happen, right?
Right.
Like there's a sense of inevitability versus watch it. Now, the Texans' defense is good, and maybe we shouldn't mock that like for what Chicago's doing. And Chicago's got a chance this week against the Colts, although I actually think the Colts will win that thing. I don't understand how that could be anybody but Jaden, frankly.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess Chicago's got better weapons, maybe, but
I don't know that they do, but both
DJ Moore's a player.
Caleb Williams and Bo Nix have just been awful. Like, there hasn't been anything to like looking at either of them. They've both been terrible.
Terrible. What was the rookie of the year thing you saw? Jaden's numbers have gone up and like back down?
No, so Jaden was second at the start of the year. He's still second.
To Caleb, who? Caleb?
Caleb Williams was one, but now Caleb Williams is down at third, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is first, which I think, again, is disrespectful. That is essentially a award that goes to a quarterback, and Jaden Daniels is clearly the best rookie quarterback. And actually, if you just look, you zoom out, take a look around the league, quarterback play is kind of down generally. He's like
way
top
down.
Half of the league, maybe top 10 quarterback in the league at quarterback statistically. How that guy isn't the runaway favorite for the Offensive Rookie of the Year is baffling to me.
Dude, in just about every stat, Jaden is killing it. Now, it is worth pointing out that Malik Willis has an 80% completion percentage. Gardner Minshew's at 77.5%. Derek Carr's at 77%. Then Jaden Daniels checks in at 75.5%. Leadville, for whatever incredibly dumb reason, NFL.com, though, doesn't list completion percentage with a minimum number of attempts. Maybe, you know, through 2 weeks it's too hard to set a minimum. But do you know who – this is NFL.com. I'm not making this up. Do you know who the leading passer is in the NFL in terms of completion percentage?
Well, it's got to be somebody who's thrown like 1 to 2 passes. So that kind of leads me to believe that maybe it's like a wide receiver or somebody who got injured very early.
It's a punter.
Ah, who
Jack,
is it?
Jack Fox, punter for the Lions. They ran a fake punt and he completed it. He's 1 of 1 for 17 yards. Shout out to Jack Fox, leading the NFL in completion percentage. Now, some would say, the haters, the ops would say, that is how I led the country in three-point shooting percentage in high school. But, you know, the facts are facts. Jack Fox, shout out to him, through 2 weeks of the NFL, highest passing rate in the league. Now, Malik Willis, the Green Bay situation is fascinating because I think they want to get Jordan Love back out there. What they did to win that game with Willis was really exciting. It was a really, really well-coached plan, but I don't know that it was I don't know how, like, replicable that is. Also, I just thought of this with the touchdowns. Landy, Eckler had a touchdown that got called back. And did B-Rob score, or was it just a really big play that got called back with OZ? When he had that, like, illegal, I think they called him for clipping, even though the damn defensive back, like, turned around.
I can't remember there.
But Eckler definitely scored,
yeah.
And that got called back. Imagine, like, for all the talk of Gano got hurt, imagine if Eckler, if they didn't call a relatively, it was a relatively fair call on the hold, but still, like, that game was just bananas. And I think trying to pin it on Gano being hurt is an oversimplification. Now, if you want to pin it on Daboll for not keeping an extra kicker on his roster when he had an empty roster spot, different conversation. I imagine John Mara's having thoughts about that kind of stuff. Lanville, one thing we haven't talked about at all is the Commanders. I applaud them for this. And whether they were strong-armed into it by this Montana senator that decided this issue mattered to him, probably just to gain political points or not, I'm still cool with it. The Commanders posted a new memorial in the memory of Walter Blackie Wetzel, who was he designed the old logo, and it's got deep roots with the Blackfeet tribe, actual American Native Americans in Montana, and I think it's cool. I think there is a path, man. Like, people can do two things at once. There is a path to a new name and understanding that the old name was derogatory to people, but you can still honor the history appropriately. There's a path to that, and I think the new ownership understands how to get there, and I like that as a step. As a step for us, quick break, and then Dan Quinn will be talking.